Okay, back on the Young Turks. All right, we were having fun off air about the idea that of me doing posing for pictures like Haas.
Yes.
So if you've ever been on Hassan Piker's Instagram, you know that the most common picture is like there's always like some sort of hand covering a part of the face, like because apparently that's cool.
Uh-huh.
I never knew that. On the other hand, if you cover a part of my face, it does get better.
So I'm not ignoring you. I just wanted to bring up the name because I forgot her name. The name of the person that I'm going to drag. But
uh-oh.
Yeah.
You're going to name names?
Yeah, of course.
Without a woman.
Oh, sorry.
Tomorrow.
Give me a second.
Skip work, the feminists tell us to prove how valuable we are.
Okay, what is her name? She is on a network called OAN. Tipping Point on OAN.
Man, there's a lot of networks these days.
Yeah, she's
That's Owen.
Workplace.
What?
I'm valuable no. Because I show up to work every day. But yeah.
Damn it. Okay, sorry. Anyway, so she's this unbearable woman. She goes on her show, Tipping Point, on OAN, and says that she starts talking shit about women who marched yesterday and decided not to go to work. And so here's a conservative talking point that drives me crazy. First of all, it's always super young, attractive women who are like, what are you talking about? What sexism? I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, so maybe you haven't hit a point where you see that sexism exists, right? Because I personally did not think sexism was a thing. I used to think feminists were unbearable, right? Mm-hmm. Like feminism, who the fuck needs feminism? Ugh, they just play victim. And you know, I'm gonna work hard and I'm gonna get what I want through working hard. And then I started working and I'm like, oh, holy shit, there's a lot of sexism, right? And not necessarily in this company, although, you know, it—
Well, wait a minute.
No, I'm gonna keep it real.
Wait
Look,
a minute.
TYT has come a super long way since I started working here. But there were issues. There were issues in the beginning, okay? Like John hosting the first hour before I got to host the first hour. And then why was that? Like that was some bullshit, right? And so look, here's the thing. I'm openly criticizing TYT because I'm free to do so. And we've evolved considerably. There are a lot of women here who have super important roles, right? So let me just get that out of the way. But that was just part of it. Also, the experience that I had with the audience and how it was just an assumption that I was a dumb girl who was here for eye candy, right? I was never here for eye candy. Jake never even met me or had a conversation with me prior to me getting hired. The only reason why I got hired is because I was willing to come in at 3 a.m. and work hard, right? And so it was just all of these male assumptions about how she's pretty, so she's dumb. Or she's only here to serve a purpose and be like the cute girl on camera, right? That kind of stuff I didn't expect. I didn't think still existed until I started working and I realized, oh my God, this shit exists, right? So that was what made me more open-minded to some feminist arguments. Now, there are some feminists that I completely disagree with, the ones that make a big deal out of, you know, pedestrian signs and how they think that they look too male and they should look more female for equality. You guys are crazy. I don't want to associate myself with you, right? But there are serious issues that women do have to deal with, right? Whether it has to do with sexual assault and rape not getting taken seriously, sexual harassment, sexual assault and rape in the workplace, sexual assault like what was happening at Fox News for a really long time, right? The fact that Viagra is something that's government funded, but people give us shit if we want things like, I don't know, free tampons or access to affordable birth control. So like there's all these little double standards that, yeah, we wanna voice our opinions on. And the government statistic that they share showing that there's an income gap between men and women is unfair because it's not comparing men and women who do the exact same jobs. But even if you look at studies that compare men and women who do the exact same jobs, there's still a gap there, a pay gap, right? It's not as big, it's not 78% or whatever number that they like to share, but it's still there. So anyway, these are all things that women are concerned about. They want to go out there and show that they're valuable to society. And nothing drives me crazier than women who are like, ew, you're just lazy and you just want a day off. No, I work really hard, bitch. I work real fucking hard, okay? I've worked hard all my fucking life. And for you to sit there and be like, women don't know what they're fucking talking about. Yeah, okay. No, they know what they're talking about. It's just that you don't know what you're talking about. And they keep asking questions like, what are they even protesting about? Well, you're supposed to be a journalist. Do your fucking research, bitch, and you'll figure it out. Anyway.
That is one of their favorite tricks. Like, what is this all about anyway?
Yeah, do your fucking research, right?
If only there was Google. So I don't know if you saw the tweet yesterday. No, you probably didn't.
I don't see any tweet because Twitter's the worst. But okay, anyway,
no. In this case, it was good.
Okay,
it was #TYTLive tweet, and it was a woman who said they were older than you, but you were still their role model because you were too strong.
Aww.
Well, that's awesome. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's honestly right now, and I'm not even lying. Those are the comments that keep me going because this is a very pessimistic thing to say, and I know I shouldn't say it out loud, but I do. Oh. I feel like every morning I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, this is such a gigantic waste of time, right? Because I feel like I have no impact and it's terrible. And so those comments keep me going and they make me feel like maybe there's a little bit of hope.
Yeah. You're crazy, dog.
Yeah, after the worst year of my life where we worked endlessly, right? What did it do? Like, we elected Trump, and like, what's the best show in television right now? The most watched show in television. It's like some reality show about like basketball wives. I'm not kidding. So like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing right now?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Okay, but I know.
What was that TV show we were talking about in the production meeting? There's like some, no, maybe it wasn't with you. Maybe it was with Steve. There's like some TV show that's doing well now where I was like, oh no, America, what are you doing?
And the conversation that we had about the Cash Me Outside girl, Ben and I had that conversation while you were gone. It wasn't because we just wanted to talk about her. It was because the story of that girl's rise to fame depresses me like you wouldn't believe. And it's not because I'm jealous or anything. It's because it says something about where we are as Americans in this country. We are fucking falling apart.
Okay, no.
We're falling apart.
It's so funny that we do the same show with the same news, and I have a completely different perspective. I think we're going to be winning so much, we're going to get tired of winning. I'm not kidding. So, okay, let me explain a little bit. But first, let me note that when you said that somebody was getting dragged in the post game, I didn't know that I was accidentally going to catch a bullet there for a second. Like, whoa, see, oh, collateral damage. Okay. I'm gonna let it go.
Let it go.
Okay. So, the reason I'm optimistic is that media is the culture, and we are the media for millennials. And so, one of the things I realized, and I want to probably write an article about this soon, is, and it was really, really, I think, an interesting epiphany and realization. So, the millennials are more different than the older generations in America than any new generation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, every generation thinks that way, like, oh, these kids with their rock and roll, they're so different, and it happens again and again. Now, let me make the case for why it actually is different this time, right? It's because millennials grew up in it with a completely different media,
mm-hmm.
and media is the culture. So, older people grew up with TV filled to the rim with fakeness,
mm-hmm.
inauthentic politicians, celebrities, everybody reading from a script. It's just, it's so effing fake and so, pulp. It's lowest common denominator and broad. If you're talking about news and politics, they never get into the specifics because they're trying to reach 100 million people at once in the old days. Now, like, a couple of million people at once.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a person who worked in network news saying, we can't do what you guys do. You guys can do a video on a super specific policy point. We can't do that. Otherwise, we think we're going to lose our audience. Well, mission accomplished. You lost it anyway, right? And so those older generations, by the way, including myself, grew up on that pulp.
Yeah.
On that horse shit, okay? Now, the millennials grew up on, if we're being generous to us, a little bit us, God bless, right?
Mm-hmm.
But mainly on Google. And the positive side of the internet that people don't talk about, which is you can research anything.
Yeah.
And you do it as a matter of course. You have to understand, for millennials, let me tell you how crazy the older generation. They were so ignorant. You have no idea how ignorant we were. In order to research something, we had to drive to the fucking library and check out books and read books. We had to get microfiche to find old articles.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's like things that they put it on, like little
Labels?
Like almost like film.
Oh.
They would like take the articles, news articles, and shrink them, put them on like kind of like film, and you would, I would remember putting in the film and then rolling it through in the machine, and then you look through these fucking goggles and you're like, oh, that's an article from 1983 that talked about Reagan. Let me write that down.
Wow.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm talking about. And that was, and I'm only 46. Imagine the guys who are 66 and 86. They had no goddamn information. Okay, they had no access to information, so they grew up in a culture steeped in ignorance. So millennials are so much better educated and know so much more about the world just because they grew up online.
I have a lot of respect for, like, I guess you. You know,
good. People, finally, thanks
God.
No,
hold on.
Okay.
Because you are educated, right? And you had to work a lot harder to be educated than I did.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought about it that way, but it's true. So I respect that.
Right. And mm-hmm. and you would have to go and get the paper and read through all the different things and then try to remember it. Because once the paper is, it's the next day, that paper is gone.
Yeah.
Think about it. Like that to us, that's like a weird thought. Once the paper was gone, it was gone. Gone. You never got to see that old article again. That's why I would carry all those newspapers in my trunk of my car.
Oh my God.
No, because I was like, I didn't read them yet, and I got to read it. I can't miss the news.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? I would keep all the old Newsweeks because if I miss some of the articles, they're gone forever.
So how is the country going to stop falling apart again?
Because that new generation is coming.
Is it though?
It is.
I hope it is. I have a lot of faith in millennials.
Okay, let me give you one more thing to cheer you up. Okay, I almost don't want this to spread too much. Okay, mm-hmm. because it's a magic trick that we're gonna release in 2018 and 2020. It's that the Republicans are already done for; they just don't know it. So Trump barely won this election by 78,000 votes in three states mm-hmm. that swung the election, right? Mm-hmm. As I told you before, and I covered it on the show, Hillary Clinton actually won the white vote if you take out white evangelicals. Isn't that amazing? She won the white vote if you take out the evangelicals. White evangelicals, 81% of them voted for Donald Trump, and they had a voter turnout of 85%. That is not repeatable. It is not repeatable. Mm-hmm. And in fact, even if it was repeatable 4 years from now, there would be a lower percentage of the population and Trump would still lose to Hillary Clinton, who is a historically unpopular candidate. You know, her polling came out yesterday. She's less popular than Donald Trump now. Oh my God. After all the insane shit that Donald Trump has done, she's still less popular than him.
Look, I think that's an interesting bit of data. They got to let it go, man. Like, and I don't like Hillary Clinton as a candidate or as a person, but like they just man, that is insulting. Like,
no, but my point is, it is, yeah. And I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
But my point is, God, how wrong was the Democratic establishment?
Yeah, totally.
They
wrong.
Thought. Oh no, Hillary Clinton is perfectly electable. Bernie Sanders is unelectable. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you couldn't be more fucking wrong, right? So when you have a candidate that is not the second most unpopular candidate in American history, mm-hmm. okay, and you have voter turnout, if they have 80% voter turnout among evangelical whites, which is unbelievably high, mm-hmm. they'll still lose. Like they have almost no chance going forward. That's the secret that nobody knows.
I hope it's true.
And every year you add a new whole year of voters that turn 18 that grew up online.
Mm-hmm.
And that grew up in an online culture that is open to information. And that is why, as Frank Luntz said in his words, because he's a Republican pollster, that millennial generation is terrifyingly liberal. By the way, that generation's political opinions matches the Young Turks almost 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no idea to the degree which we own the future.
And for me, it's not even about like, I want to win, you know, believe me, that is not what I care about. I just care about the prosperity of everyone. Like, I want everyone to live well and prosper, and I want us to take care of each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hate this individualistic nature of politics today.
One last thing, and we won't do deep state because aggressive progressive coming up. We'll save deep state for another day. That's okay. This is really interesting conversation. Although I prefer the part where I was complimented, but rather than insulted. But okay. No, I'm just playing. The Trump election is a what they call in the stock market a dead cat bounce. Mm-hmm. His stock's going down, and at some point people are like, oh, it's two down, right? Mm-hmm. It'll go up for a second, and people will think, oh no, it's going to keep on going up. No, that stock is fucked. That was a dead cat bounce, boom, and then it'll keep going down. Okay,
learn something new every day.
So the Trump election was a dead cat bounce. Mm-hmm. So they think it's the trend. They think it's, oh yeah, the racism and bigotry and all that stuff is ascended again. No, it's not. No, it's not. We're going to fucking crush them next time. And so it's not about electoral results, Anna. It's about what does that mean? That's the policy. That's the thing that's most important. That's why I think going after the establishment Democrats is more important. Because if the establishment Democrats win, what fucking difference does it make?
Yeah.
Then we're right back in the soup, and we're right back into no change at all.
But one thing that I did notice during this past election is that millennials aren't buying the Democratic establishment.
No, they're not.
Not at all. And they're very aggressively voicing their opinion against it. So that's a good sign, I guess. And so, yeah, you're making me feel better. But before I forget, your piece should be titled Trump's presidency was a dead cat bounce. That's super interesting.
Yeah. I hear you. Millennials, up and at them. Let's go get the sons of bitches. Okay. We're going to add 4 years by the time 2020 comes around of super liberal voters, right? And so screw the Democratic establishment, screw the Republican establishment, screw Trump. In the old days, like I'm telling you, the trick they're going to do, I'm telling you ahead of time, as always, right? They will take all the tax cuts, they will take all the deregulation, and then they'll throw Trump overboard. And they'll say, oh, it was Trump, but us Republicans were reasonable. And TV will be their number one aider and abettor. They will say, oh, now that Trump's gone, everything's fine. Mike Pence or whoever we're back to normal. Everything's fine. No, it's not fine. They just did the greatest fucking American robbery of all time, right? But you know what? That shit is not going to fly online. They're not going to trick a single fucking millennial, right? So I'm over-exaggerating there. They'll trick a couple of millennials. But overall, it's not going to fucking fly. It's not the old days. It's a new culture. And that new culture is fucking awesome. Trust me. We're going to win so much, we're going to get tired of winning.
We'll see.
All right, guys. Aggressive Progressives is up in about 20 minutes. We'll see you.